Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that today we are able to gather in your house. And Father, as we come together, we are here because we believe in you, because we trust in you, because we know, Father, that you answer prayers and your greatest desire is to love us and to be with us. So we're thankful this time for this time, Father, to just come and think on your word and how you speak to us through it. Lord, I just ask now as we would have this message, that it would be your message. And Father, that it would just speak to the hearts of those who are here. Lord, we lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off reading a passage of scripture for you this morning. It's James 3. Starting with verse 3. Before I get into it, it's James 3, starting with verse 3, if you're looking it up. I was with a young man this week, and we were talking, and we got to talking about the Bible. And he had a question about the Bible. It was a good question. It was a valid question. And I said, you know, well, this is where we can look it up. This is where we find it. And he's not sure really, does he believe the Bible? Does he not believe the Bible? He knows parts of the Bible and not parts of the Bible. And it's kind of this type of thing. So he wanted answers. And fortunately, the answer to the question he had was one of the good answers. Now, if you look in Scripture closely, you'll see that not all the answers, not all the things in Scripture do we want to hear. Okay? There's things that the Bible says that we kind of, if we're going to live a life the way God wants us to, that are going to kind of go against what we do. Realize this, the Bible isn't really here to placate people. The Bible isn't here to always give people a warm fuzzy. God didn't give us His Word just to make us feel good, although it does. But He also gave us His Word as a rule for life. And sometimes we have to back up to the simple rules and listen to them and listen to His guidelines, because in that we find growth, which is really what we're wanting to do. We want to grow in God. We want to grow in Christ. And so I shared with this man that I was talking to, this young man, some of the things that maybe the Bible says that are a little harder to hear, because they might mean if we listen to them and if we obey what God says, it might mean that there's a change coming, that there's something we have to correct. And today's message, I'm just being honest with you, today's message, for some, it may be just that kind of message, because it may hit on a nerve that you don't like. And maybe, and my hope is that it hits on a nerve that you say, you know what, I can correct this. I'm going to be talking about the tongue. And the Bible's pretty clear on a lot of the tongue. But in our passage as we read, it just spells it out pretty blunt. James 3, beginning with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course for his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, We praise our Lord and Father, and with that same tongue, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Talking about our tongues. In 1590 or 1592, somewhere around there, and nobody really is absolutely sure on this, but a man by the name of William Shakespeare, you may have heard of him. He wrote and produced a play, and the play was called The Taming of the Shrew. I don't know how much Shakespeare you've read, but when I was in high school, as a part of our English literature class, we had to study Shakespeare. We had to read Shakespeare, and it was the hardest stuff I've ever found to read. And the interpretation was difficult for me. I don't speak Elizabethan English, and there's a lot that I just didn't understand, but going through the class, going through going through the Shakespearean plays and this type of thing, I learned it. And it was kind of cool because I find that today I remember what I learned all the way back in like 1972, 1973, something like that. And some of you are saying, I wasn't born then. Okay. But I remember. And this, The Taming of the Shrew, has always been, it's kind of been one of my favorites that Shakespeare did. In this play, there's a headstrong and independent woman. Now, you know, I think of Donna when I read that. We're supposed to interpret this. No. This headstrong, independent woman's named Kate. She gets married off to a visitor in town named Patricio. And the suitor, Bianca the sister, okay, can't wed until Kate is married. So after a long time in which the marriage was difficult and many techniques were tried, Patricio does tame the shrew, Kate, and she becomes a proper wife, at least for the 1590s England. In the reading today, James warns us of the dangers of the tongue. And it's a talking about taming the tongue. Now, eventually the shrew was tamed, but the tongue is a lot tougher. He called the tongue both a fire and a world of iniquity and wickedness and evil. He also said that the tongue defiles or corrupts the entire body. And we can think back in Matthew 15:11, Jesus taught us it is not what goes into the mouth of a person that defiles them, but what comes out from their mouth that defiles them. Folks, we say things, we let things come out, and that is what defiles us. That is what makes us undesirable in the eyes of other people. It's common in the world today. And in the society we live with, and when we talk about the tongue, it's much more than this, but to spurt out any kind of foul language we want to spurt out. And a person gets frustrated, and what's the first thing they do? They curse. Somewhere along the line, we've got it in our heads that this is okay. Somewhere along the line, we've got it in our heads that we can stand in church and praise God and then curse the neighbor, or curse what we're doing, or something didn't go our way, or we don't like it, or there's a, you know, an owie on the finger, whatever, and we just let the words fly. You have no idea. You have no idea the harm that happens when you do that. You, it's what comes out of you. You are the ones that are bringing condemnation if it goes that far. You're the ones that are saying, I'm going to ignore this little part of what God says, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I want to let this word and this word and this word, and you notice I'm deliberately not using them, but you know what they are. Everybody in this room knows what they are. I don't have to describe to you what a cuss word is, you know. I don't have to describe for you what a sexually demeaning words are. You already know. And you already know if you throw those words out. When you get upset, you know what comes forth from your mouth. And if somebody's looking at you or somebody hears this, let me tell you what happens. Christian, your testimony is ripped. Because what happens is you become a hypocrite in the eyes of those who see and hear you. What is a hypocrite? Saying one thing and doing another. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Heavenly Father. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. And I absolutely am so proud that God has allowed me to be a part of His family. And I am proud to call myself a Christian. And then boom, I say something and all of a sudden, anybody that knows who I am or anybody that has seen me, they're like, he's no different than I am. The tongue. This isn't an easy one. It's not something people like to hear. But you know what? We need to hear it. Unapologetically, we need to hear it. I'm not out to offend anyone today. And as we go through the message, I am not talking to any individual in this room. I'm sharing the Word of God. So if you're uncomfortable with it, you might want to think about how you use your tongue. If you're uncomfortable with it, you might want to change a habit that you have. Because we let these words just flow. The one and the one that I hate the most is that person that takes the Lord's name in vain. Oh, well, I'm pretty good then. I don't do that. You know what I'm talking about? They give Jesus a middle name. They use God's name and just take it in very rough ways and they put damnation on it. You know. And you know if you do it or not. Folks, there is an accounting that takes place for this stuff. And like I say, I'm not out to offend anyone. I just want to tell you the truth. And often it amazes me, it really does, how a person can praise God and just lift their voice up in song or lift their voice up in sharing scripture or whatever, and they can do that one moment, and then the next moment, the very next moment, blah, 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 garbage flows from their mouth. Our words define and guide us. If we talk in an unintelligent manner, people are going to see us as unintelligent. If we talk like a gang member, people will believe we're thugs. If we speak with a knowledgeable tone, people will believe we have understanding of what we're talking about. Oh, yes. This is how you can, and we, yeah, people think you're really smart. You got them buffaloed. Sometimes. If you spend your time talking down to people all the time, all you're going to see is the bad in others. If you talk about the good of others and the situations you're in, you'll be seen as a positive and joyful person. All too often we don't do this. All too often we just kind of let it come out. I used to take a stand on it, and especially when it comes to the intelligence of an individual. And again, this is not to insult anybody. It's just me being me and me being blunt. And when I hear a person and all they can do in given situations is cuss and swear, I look at that person and my thought on that person is they're just not educated. They're just not educated. They don't know how to use the English language in the correct manner. So instead of using the English language as we should use the English language, they present themselves as illiterate and just spit out the words. Why? The tongue. The tongue. Many children, when taunted by others, will say this, and I know coming up we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a lie. But we're taught that, and for all of their bravado, the names do hurt, because words hurt. We can be hit, we can be pushed, we can be slapped, or be subject to any other physical abuse, and usually get over it in time. There are exceptions to this. I'm not going to say there's not. But the pain we feel from a slap is usually gone by the time the redness fades. But the hurt that we feel from words may never fade. I've known people who still hurt from a name that they were called, you know, 40, 50 years later. I saw a show one time, and a daughter talked about a name that her father called her, and it was in jest. He was just having fun and teasing or trying to make it a fun situation. And some 15 years earlier, he had done this, and the father didn't even remember the incident. But the daughter had brought it up, and after all the compliments, this is what he said, after all the compliments I've given you and all the times that I've called you beautiful and wonderful and my great daughter, why would you remember that? One incident. And the daughter replied, because that's the only one that hurt. It hurts. Words hurt. By the way, once you spit them out, you can't take them back. When it's out of the box, you can't take it back. And it doesn't matter how many times you try to take it back, you can't. What hurtful, harmful words have you said? To whom? How many times have you cast insults and aversion on someone? You can't take it back. We don't get over the emotional and psychological hurts as easy as or as completely as we do some of the physical hurts. And because of our untamed tongue, we wound and injure the people around us and our neighbors. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do you agree? The Bible tells me that, so I think I agree. All right, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and yet how many of the insults that we throw at others, our neighbors, would we be happy to have thrown at us? How much of the disrespect and the slight comments that we send to others would we want to have sent to us? In our passage that we read, the apostle told us that we put bits in the mouths of horses, and with that small bit, we control the whole animal. Ships are controlled by relatively small rudders, and this can really be seen in these great big huge super tankers that they have. Even if the ship is being beat around by the wind and the waves, the ship can be controlled by the helmsman with just simple little controls. James then makes this comparison. The tongue is very small in comparison to the whole body, but like a horse's bit or a ship's rudder, it can move the entire person. And if we're not careful, folks, we can be moved into areas that we did not intend to go. Guard your tongue carefully and what you say and what comes out of it. James called out again, stating, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Right now in California, that's become very real for them, hasn't it? All that started from what was a relatively small spark. And we all know that a small spark or a carelessly thrown match can cause a fire that burns thousands and thousands of square miles of forest. The tongue is also a fire with a similar destructive power. With a small spark, just a word or two, the fire that we can produce will burn for many years and cause much destruction. The tongue has a capability to not only build, but to use words to devastate. And sometimes we'll look at people and we'll build them up, and then the next time we see them, we'll beat them down. All with the same tongue. So the tongue, or words, will somehow take on a life of their own. Words spoken between two people will be heard by another, then another, then another, right? There's no privacy. Now, I was told a story of a pastor and a member of the pastor's congregation, and this member had heard a rumor or suspected the pastor of doing wrong. And this person kept bad-mouthing the pastor and telling everyone of the suspected wrong that he believed the pastor had done. Then the congregation member was shown what they believed and what he believed, and he was shown that it was wrong. And he went to the pastor and he asked the pastor for forgiveness for what he'd done. Forgiveness was given. But the member still wanted to do something to correct the situation. The word was out there. He'd already done this, and it was spreading, and it was out there. And he asked the pastor, he says, I'm so torn by this. I need to do something to correct the situation. What can I do to make things right? The pastor told him, he said, take some feathers and put one on each of the doorways on the block. The person did what was asked, not understanding why the pastor made the request, but he still did it. And when the person asked what to do next, the pastor told the person, said, go and gather all those feathers up. Get all the feathers back. The day was really windy, and most, if not all, of the feathers were gone. And the person said, I cannot get them all. And the pastor then replied, no, you can't. Folks, if you put it out there, it's out there. And you can't get it back. The harm is done. Twenty to 30 years ago, maybe even more, it might even go back 40 years, bad-mouthing people, spreading rumors, starting gossip, it caused plenty of pain, it caused plenty of damage in people's life. But in today's age of electronic and instant media, listen to this now. These words of hate and anger and scandal can be spread worldwide. And if there's no way to gather all the words we say when it was just word of mouth spreading them, we couldn't gather that in, how much harder is it now? Somebody might post something on Facebook and realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and delete it immediately. How many people are going to see it? Because even though you deleted it immediately, it's out there. And it's going around, and somebody's picked up on it, and then they're passing it and passing it and passing it. Even though it was there for just a second, how many people will repost that message or repost what was said? Folks, it's a bad thing. And people are getting slandered and bashed in media all the time. And maybe you've been the object of that. Maybe somebody's putting something out there about you and you're like, that's not true. Oh, I'll take it down. It's too late. James then said, we bless God, and with the same tongue we curse men. He says, this should not be. God thinks so much of his people to save us from the sins that we commit. The second person of the Holy Trinity came to us and removed our sins. He claimed our sins as his own and stood in our place as the righteous and the holy punishment and poured himself out for us. Jesus suffered both death and hell for us, to take our punishment, so that we wouldn't have to suffer. With this selfless act of love, this enormous outpouring of mercy, our relationship with God was restored and our sins were forgiven. God has reclaimed his creation and we are his children once again. But even though we know that God has called us, he calls us his saints or a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we still use our tongue in an unholy and a common manner. We'll look at our neighbor and watch their actions and listen to them talk and use words to describe them like, boy, they're stupid. Hey, by the way, this came to me as I was writing this, and I think I've shared it before, but did you ever notice this? When you're driving, anyone in front of you driving slower is an idiot. Anybody driving faster, what a moron. Okay? Don't tell me you don't do it. I'm the only one that drives right. Well, look at our neighbor and just watch their actions and describe them stupid, idiot, moron, jerk, jackass, dummy, geek, dweeb, among a host of others. And I use nice words there. Okay? Well, they're not really nice words. They're still hurtful words. How can we, as faithful followers of God, curse and condemn those which God has declared holy? Let's say that we condemn those who don't believe in God or haven't received his forgiveness. You know what? Jesus still died for them. The atheist, Jesus died for the atheist. He died for the agnostic. He's still calling them. So how can we criticize them? This past week I had an opportunity to talk to a person, very, very open, very self-proclaimed atheist. And as she was talking to me, she was giving me, this is why she believes what she believes, what she believes. And you know what it comes back to? It comes back to, as a child, somebody said something to her about God and then said, if you don't do this, God's not going to love you. Self-proclaimed atheist. Out of the mouth, folks. Out of the mouth. Let's say maybe we shouldn't be condemning those that don't believe in God. Maybe we should be trying to talk to them properly. Jesus still died for them, and they're still special in God's eyes. Even though we know we shouldn't, our sinful nature still gets us to look at our neighbor with contempt and scorn. And we don't see the forgiven sinner before us. We just see someone that in our mind is beneath us, or they're worthy of our contempt. God has commanded us to not bear false witness against our neighbor. But what if what we say isn't false? Maybe it's true. The person we're calling an idiot might be a real idiot. In a situation like this, we have to remember that God has also told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this, with the commandment, means that we should not do or say anything that might tear down or embarrass or degrade our neighbor or our family member or anyone else. James has said that the tongue is an unruly evil and full of poison. And we can, like Petruchio in the play, The Taming of the Shrew, we can tame our tongue like he did his wife, Kate. According to James, the tongue is untamable, and he's probably correct. For when our hearts and minds give in to sin, it is the tongue that's the first to go into action. Our hands and feet will respond only when we think about it, but the tongue seems to take action before we think about it. Somebody says something and you throw something back like that. Or, it's amazing how sometimes people have to end the conversation. I'm not going to use what they say. But they'll say something and then just storm off. The tongue is too wild to accept the bit. And it's not like the beasts of the earth that we can tame, but we can do our best to keep it on a leash, folks. We can do our best to keep it tight. We can hold our tongue until we have time to think about what we want to say. And if you just take that time to think about it, the tongue becomes a weapon of good instead of a weapon of evil. It becomes a tool that we use to uplift people and to build people and to resolve situations. The tongue, an unruly beast, and has gotten many people in embarrassing situations and in some form of trouble. It carries out our desires to hurt people with a cruel accuracy, and most of the time, it can't be taken back. But more than this, folks, the disrespect and the wounds that are caused by the tongue go against what God wants us to do. And it becomes very devastating to God when His people, His children, disregard Him and just let the flames of fire fly. As I said, this is in the Bible. I've always told people that I will teach everything in the Bible, and I will not back away from any. People don't like to hear this. But the good news is this, is that God has thought enough of all people to save them and to declare them holy and as His children. And in learning to tame the tongue, to bring it in a little bit, to maybe put a leash on it, that can draw us closer to God in itself, because we have taken that step to not allow Satan to have control. Because that's really where it comes from. So think about it. Think about those that you've wronged. Think about those that you've have seen you act in a non-Christian manner. Think about your tongue. Think about your anger. Think about your disrespectfulness. Think about how you've hurt people. And guys, it's not all cursing. It's telling lies. I mean, it's telling people that they're stupid. All of this kind of stuff is just damaging. What should the tongue be used for? It should be used to uplift and encourage. Do you do that? Do you use that tongue to, not just those closest to you? When people are around you, do they see you as uplifting and encouraging? I don't know. You have to answer that. But realize the tongue is a problem. And if you need to work on it, God will give you what you need to get it done. And eventually it's not quite as hard. As you practice it, as you think about it, as you learn to think about things before you say them, I was always told, think before you talk. There's probably a good reason I was told that. I've not always done it. I probably still don't always do it. But I'm working on it. And I got God with me, so it gets easier. Let's pray. As I pray, I just want to say good luck, folks, in your quest. Now, the quest is this. The quest is taming the tongue. Learning how to use it in a way that is uplifting and edifying rather than beating down. Got to give you the help you need. But you got to back away long enough to let Him tell you what's right. Jumping to that hasty decision and hastily throwing the words out just isn't what He wants. Heavenly Father, as we're here today, I believe in Your Word. I believe all that is written and all that You have given us. And even as You address so many things in our lives, we come to something as simple and as small as the tongue. And You have even addressed that in Scripture. and how we abuse it and how we use it for all the wrong things. But Father, you've also promised to be with us and to help us if we'll ask. And I pray that you would just help us to learn to tame the tongue, to leash it in at least. I pray, Father, that that comes from our mouths would not be defiling to others. So I lift this congregation to you and those who are here and just ask your blessing on them. Give them the strength they need this coming week to be the people you want them to be and to do the things you want them to do. And Father, just let them know that you have nothing but love to pour into them. And because of that, they have it to pour into others. And Father, we just lift this in Jesus' name. Amen.